This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
And welcome to the AEW Rampage Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of AEW Rampage. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review AEW Rampage, but also AEW Dynamite, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, pay-per-views, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick to look ahead to Rampage tonight. But before we do that, I feel like we should take a moment and reflect on a sensational rating for AEW Dynamite this week. 1.3 million viewers, the second most watched Dynamite ever after the first ever Dynamite, of course. It beat Monday Night Raw in the ratings. It's got momentum.
It has, in fact, got momentum. I have been on the horse all year long, galloping towards my correct take. And I've just won the Grand National. I've been convinced all year long. And, you know, it's supported by Dave Meltzer's great work when he was analysing ratings trends. He believed that in terms of the key demographic, which is what drives the money, which is what drives the rights fees, AEW Dynamite was on course to beat Raw in the very same week that has happened this week. It's just, it is impossible, and I always felt it was impossible, for one show to have so much buzz and to generally have such a high quality consistently versus one show that is so dismal, so lifeless. Half the time, we might as well still be in the Thunderdome era on WWE Raw. In fact, about 90% of the time, and that's not hyperbole at all. It's just simply impossible for these two things not to pass each other by, and they have now passed each other by. Look, All Out 2021 was amazing, special, momentous. It was the complete epicenter of pro wrestling conversation. We will see if these trends continue. I don't think this is the start of 83 weeks. Or anything close to it. I think Monday Night Football will mean that this is not an aberration.
Nope.
I think Dynamite's consistent quality and the fact that Punk and Danielson haven't even worked Dynamite yet. Adam Cole hasn't worked Dynamite yet, and he was basically NXT's biggest draw per
doing
quarter
it next week,
hours.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Oh. I don't think that number is going to be the standard going forward, but I do think there'll be some weeks. There'll be enough for a paradigm shift to slowly materialize. I think it will happen consistently, just not yet. I think Raw has to get a whole hell of a lot worse first. But how much worse can it get? A great result. I can understand why they got that number. I'm not saying that they are going to do a WCW Nitro defeats Raw for 83 weeks deal. But, you know, we're closer to a shocking paradigm shift than we were before.
And as a more and more pessimistic Monday Night Raw fan, still really enjoy SmackDown, but I'm not going to sit here and say, well, I'm trying to beat that. They've not actually won anything, because that's a disingenuous take you see on Twitter.
Yes.
It might, you know, the optimist in me thinks, oh, maybe Raw will see this and go, right, what are they doing that we should do more of? We should advance, announce, you know, what's going on this three-hour show, or book well when the show's actually happening. Whereas in reality, you and I know exactly what's going to happen. they are going to use their strategy of announce everything 10 minutes before the show goes on air, because that might hook a few viewers, and do angles that they think will keep people hooked for the whole show, but aren't really of any substance, and just shoot off one-off surprises and nostalgia and all that usual bollocks that really won't actually make a difference long term.
I mean, they could do a Legends Night. They'll love a bit of that, I'm pretty sure.
I really hope they do, because we've got a lot of banter planned for that.
Yes, we absolutely have. I can't wait. Keep a goddamn ear out for that. We've got a phenomenal idea ahead of the next Raw Legends Night. And I'm not being funny, given previous lulls in Raw's viewership and what happens when those lulls happen, I would bet a significant amount of money that as we speak, when that rating came out last night, when the Yanks start work today, we are recording UK time Friday morning, when the Yanks start work today, I would bet a significant amount of money that there will be a meeting held among USA execs about, right, this isn't good. Because at the minute, AEW is generating about a fifth of the rights fee that Monday Night Raw is. I might be off fourth or a quarter or a fifth, right? If this trend continues, WWE's biggest revenue stream, and you know, they might still get the same amount, which is still exorbitant, only Dynamite gets a bigger amount, but they won't want that. They don't want Dynamite to get the same amount of money as WWE. That could genuinely be a paradigm shift in ratings, is one thing. In terms of the actual popularity and reach of the companies, that's something entirely. I think they are having a meeting as we speak, saying, right, what the hell do we do? And because Vince McMahon says, all right, okay, what we'll do is, right, we've been pissing around too long with these last-minute impromptu shows, we will start telling stories. Absolutely not happening. Legends Night, a NASCAR tie-in, Raw on the Roof, just these hollow, empty one-week gestures that they've been doing for the past however many years. Mr. McMahon might be on telly as a recurring character. That would be hilarious.
Yeah. Do you know what the thing is as well with Dynamite, and I think you'll admit this, is often when we've done these things before and talked about a spike in the ratings or, you know, real increase for AEW or just, you know, them getting close to Monday Night Raw, it's often off the back of a pay-per-view, and either the pay-per-view or the Dynamite after the pay-per-view do not hit the heights that they need to. And especially it's disappointing with that when it's Dynamite, because you're like, right, hook people in. Get people to go from being like, oh my God, I can't believe the mad stuff that happened on the pay-per-view, to being like, right, I need to invest in this weekly, you know, so it's not like NXT was back in the day, for example, of just, oh, just watch the pay-per-view sort of thing. And I think we said it on Dynamite this week. This was a real exemplary show in terms of, yes, still develop the storylines, but introduce it for people who maybe are slightly less aware and make them invest in it as well.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's just a significantly better show.
Yes. Anyway, right, let's talk about Rampage tonight. It's in Cincinnati. And, well, the main event, I assume it's going to be the main event, is anything, according to reports, but mid, in the words of Maxwell Jacob Friedman. We are finally getting Pac versus Andrade. And it sounds like, from what we've heard, not to spoil anything, it's worth the wait.
Yeah, we're not going to spoil the result. I've not, in fact, sought out the result. But there's a general good vibe around AEW and the relationship with its fans. In fact, it's like fawning at the minute. AEW want to service the fans want to lap that up. So what you get is, you don't just get dropped all over Twitter carelessly. Oh, he went over. And who cares? No one's going to really watch it or engage with it. I think it's a respectful. This is what happens when you create a white hot product that the fans are into. A mutual respect is formed between producer and customer. We are seeing that right now. And the accounts are, and this is only a spoiler on prospective match quality, that it bangs. I'm shocked at these reports, and I've heard more than one of them.
Yeah, it's fair to say, but it's not often you are that pessimistic about certain stuff on AEW. But I think it's fair to say you were concerned heading into this, whether it was at the pay-per-view or on this show.
Indeed, I've been concerned because Andrade's dogged it since his return. He's transformed his body that to an extent that it's more impressive looking, but the engine, he's just put diesel and petrol or petrol and diesel or whatever. He's too slow. He's too sluggish. He works as a generic body guy until tonight. or so it would appear. Yeah, I was worried about this because not his wrestling feels more sluggish, and Kenny Omega at Triple Mania grabbed him by the scruff of the neck and said, well, we're having a Kenny Omega match. I'll accept nothing less. And even that was 4 stars is a mid-Kenny Omega match, and that's exactly what they had. And Pac likes to build his matches very slowly. And because of that, converged with Andrade's happiness to just not really put in a shift. Mm-hmm. I was thinking this match is going to be not a disaster, but a gentleman's three. And imagine saying that in 2018. Mm-hmm. One day, all those trademarks are correct. AEW is going to be a thing. They're going to sign Pac. He's going to return to wrestling, having been frozen out of his contract. And he's going to work a match with Andrade, who earlier that year, 2018, had worked one of the best WWE matches ever. That match with Gargano was tremendous. And by the way, it's going to suck. I think, what? But all of the accounts say that this is, I've read Straight Fire. Mm-hmm. I forget the name of the Twitter user in my replies. I apologize for that. But they've said it was Straight Fire. Like, a lot of fans who were present at the tapings have reached out to various outlets, or they've just said on Twitter, like, this is an excellent match. I've heard they go about 20 minutes in just delivering spades. I've heard one complaint about the finish not being great, but we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, this is exactly why taped shows, and we've discussed this quite a bit on these Rampage previews, I'm going to watch it anyway. Mm-hmm. If I'm on the fence, and there are certain AEW viewers who watch some episodes, not others, they are more than happy to wait for the reception before they invest their time in it. If anything, sometimes tape shows are an advantage. Mm. I wasn't alone in this opinion of Andrade versus Pac. I thought it was going to be a bit slow and a bit meandering and not just have that explosive gear because of Andrade kind of sucks at the minute. But apparently he's going to save his career tonight. I can't wait. Surely Andrade goes over. Mm. Andrade appears to be more available. Pac's basically there at this moment to work banger matches, and he can't possibly create a real long-term story arc on his behalf because of the fact that his status is perennially uncertain amid this pandemic. It's kind of weird. If you trace Pac's, yeah, you sometimes wonder, is it worth the bother?
Mm.
He's had this weird interaction with Lance Archer where he didn't know if they were aligned or if they were just hovering around each other because they fancied a bit of the action. Dropped stone dead. He's had the match with Kenny Omega where it was like, right, okay, let's just have a banger at Double or Nothing for fans coming back. He has done this feud with Andrade. He had this weird thing where he's going to come back together with Eddie Kingston. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
After Double or Nothing, whether we're going to team together or tease some kind of alliance when it was the Elite versus everybody, that just, they can't book someone who they don't know if he's going to be available, they don't know if they can trust in. I would rather have a few disparate threads of TV with no continuity that when you think upon, you think, oh, that was a bit of a waste of time because Pac's so great in the ring.
Yeah.
And apparently he's going to show why he's so great in the ring tonight, so let's have at it.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's look ahead to some more matches tonight. It's Friday, 10th of September, and a lot of people are talking about a huge controversial figure finally returning to TV. I'm not talking about Brock Lesnar. I'm talking about Max Caster. He faces Brian Pillman Jr. tonight. And, I mean, the match I'm looking forward to. I'm also really looking forward to the acclaimed entrance from what I've heard about on Dark.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've not heard any spoilers about what he's going to do on Rampage, read the rap, but on Dark, he teased having like a really heavily scripted promo that was so utterly naff and not potent on purpose, stemming from, you know, the fact that his last shtick was so edgelord that I got him ostensibly suspended.
This guy is good, but we are better, sort of thing like that. I'm so excited.
And then he ripped it up and did something that was, in fact, scripted by himself, but heavily regulated by Tony Khan, as is the case and as should be the case going forward. So I expect more of the same.
And it's awful to say this, but we saw it on Dynamite, and presumably, as we said, Brian Pillman Jr., sound bloke that he is, has okayed all this, especially with how hard MJF went in. So much so that his sister went into labour, apparently. But there's a lot of material there that is edgy, dangerous, but also kind of accepted, so long as it's okay with Brian Pillman Jr. and the Pillman family.
I'm assuming it is, given MJF's behaviour on Wednesday evening. Jesus, goddamn Christ, that was exceptional. Yes. It's a class wrestling. It's a class industry wrestling, isn't it?
Mm.
Like, I've always said that my favourite cheeky bastard thing in wrestling is someone like Bray Wyatt. He thought he had it made. Like, what's a character? Well, you know, cult leader. I've got major psychological prowess. And then Vince goes, can you do magic tricks? And Bray goes, even better, that means I win all the time. You still go 50-50, everybody does. But I love the ambition on the lad to say, well, how can I not win all the time when I can teleport, I can control arena lighting systems, got ghost mates? So that's the ticket to being a main eventer. If you can't lose, you must win. The winners, wins and losses don't actually matter. Now I've wasted all my time doing the supernatural bollocks. So that's one of my favorite cheeky bastard things to do in wrestling, just to pitch a supernatural gimmick. I have to win. I'm better than mortals. Love that. Cheeky bastards. Doesn't work in WWE because nothing does, but I love that. MJF and Caster have got one of my favorite things as well. Like, MJF particularly is a genius with this. My character is so awful that if you don't let me say the things that I have to say to get over, you will look like a bit of a bitch for me not being able to say those things. All right, common mother, you know, whatever.
Mm.
Have to do it. And Caster's kind of got that edge about him as well. I love it. If you can get a character that allows you to get so over, but you kind of have to have a little bit of a thick skin, fair enough. Caster's like a little bit like that. MJF's much better at finding the line, as we know. Even before Caster disgraced himself, his early promos, if you go back, he was doing all the soy boy cook and all the rest of it. It was a bit 4chan for my liking. But then he started to get the knack of it. It was a bit more irreverent. It was a bit more bizarre. And then he did that. So I'm hoping for a proper return to form. Look, this isn't going to be exceptional in the ring. The best we can hope for is the rap gets the heat. Pillman Jr. in his hometown gets a reaction. And that this is fun, heated, short, effective, gets the job done, positions Pillman Jr. as a player ahead of Arthur Ashe.
We've also got a 3-on-3 match, Britt Baker, Rebel, and Jamie Hayter versus Ruby Soho, Riho, and Chris Statlander. Hoping for better than what we saw with the singles match on Dynamite on this one.
Indeed, and I've read that this bangs.
Oh, good.
I've also read that this match bangs. It's one person, so, you know, it's not going to be this unanimous classic. But I've heard that this bangs. I've heard that it's so much more tight than the match was on Dynamite, which again furthers my idea that Rampage might be better for sometimes how functional and repetitive it is. We know we saw two of these women in the same match at Dynamite. There's a risk of, not rematches, because this isn't a straight rematch, but having certain matches on Dynamite and Rampage, like, cycle through different combinations without being full-on rematches can only help sharpen the chemistry, sharpen the pairings. As Hamlet said, let them iron out their kinks and wrinkles. And apparently this match did precisely that from the first-hand account I read. Apparently it's really good. The Reba bits are the Reba bits, like the comedic relief, but, you know, the crowd were hot for all of it, so even if your mileage varies, it's not this moment where the match just gets lost and the tone just gets uneven. Apparently this is really good. Surely you have the babyfaces win, mm-hmm. because you want to further the idea that Britt Baker, if she continues to rely on these people, is in a bit of danger because they are proving themselves to be weak or like baggage.
I really thought about Riho as a title contender when I've been there going, who are they going to put across from Britt Baker to make a proper heel? We talked about the fact that Ruby Soho, they have managed to establish that great heel face dynamic, but Riho's in that stratosphere as well, considering the reaction she got in the Casino Battle Royal.
She's been over since day one. She's been over since day one. She was a proven quarter hour draw during her AEW women's title run, which is so impressive considering that they did very little to establish a character. She had split her schedule across Japan and AEW so that she wasn't a consistent presence. And she's just so goddamn likable.
Mm.
She's so sympathetic. She's such a great firecracker of a worker, which she obscures in the guts of the match to get an even bigger pop when she starts to explode with a comeback. Her entrance theme rules. She'd be an amazing babyface opponent for Britt Baker, now that you pointed out, because she's impossible to dislike with one exception. Day one, she was over. Day two, she was a dick to Yuka Sakazaki.
Mm.
I'll never forgive that. I'll never forgive that. But yeah, Statlander, we know, got beat on the paper. Ruby Soho upcoming. I'd love to see Baker versus Riho.
Mm.
We've seen flashes of it before. It was very good. And Riho deserves a much better spot. Like, there was a bit of an incident on the Twitter discourse overnight when someone was complaining that they're not getting utilized correctly. That person doesn't have a leg to stand on. Riho does not get used anywhere near often enough. Sheeta doesn't get used anywhere often enough. So I'm always happy to see Riho on my TV.
It's nice to see a potential sort of next few steps for Britt Baker, because often we've been sort of saying it's sort of, you know, competitor of the week, you know, challenger of the week going up against her. Whereas you could book, like you say, Statlander to Soho. And, you know, it's a shame, obviously, Soho comes in and loses. But, you know, if you want to do it this way, Statlander to Soho to Riho to Thunder Rosa.
Yeah, Riho with full gear would be awesome.
Yeah, like there's definitely stuff there. And yeah, especially because you could put Riho in there with like a Jamie Hayter to build it up and showcase her, you know, never give up sort of attitude.
While we're riffing here, while we're spitballing, is the key to making Britt Baker an actual heel, which is the direction they are intent on going with, given who she's lining up against, she joins the Elite and bins off Tony Schiavone to properly align with Adam Cole, stemming from Wednesday. Tony Schiavone is so beloved. He's the heart and soul of that organization. If Baker turns on Tony, that is the last thing, the last step that might make people think, Christ, I really actually want to do it after all. Then she can still turn face at another point.
Yeah, hug him. Yeah, exactly.
Do reconciliation.
That's a really good idea. For the best. Let's conclude. I often conclude by talking about a promo, but it's worth mentioning because advertised for tonight on Rampage is Darby Allin and Sting responding to Tully Blanchard, who's booked Sean Spears versus Darby Allin. Was it next week? Love Sean Spears at the moment. Big fan of his. All of us here at What Culture. And I'm excited for that. But I want to talk about the elephant in the room, and we sort of touched on it on our Dynamite review. Are we getting Sting versus Tully Blanchard down the line?
Apparently so. Apparently so. Odd, this.
Mm.
Very odd. It was very sudden, very jarring. The way it was delivered and the way it's just sprung from nowhere. I think a lot of people were just taken aback. So taken aback and stunned that they couldn't get hyped. Maybe we'll see some developments tonight. In fact, they are advertised, as mm-hmm. we just said, that might get us hyped about this. Look, this will be a nice little pop for a TV undercard. And it'll get a proper loud one as well, like Tully and Sting. Like, this audience loves professional wrestling, loves the history and the range of professional wrestling. There is little more to love than Tully Blanchard in 1985 and 1986. Like a legend. There's little more to love than Sting. This will be a nice little moment worked around Spears and Darby Allin.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could do it as a tag match.
Oh, of course, just, yeah. They're not going one-on-one. They are not going one-on-one. As much as I loved Tully Blanchard's cameo in that trios match at the Crossroads before Revolution, I believe it was, you can't work a singles match. Like, you just can't do it. So I expect it to be a tag built around a big showdown between Sting and Tully. Tully could probably take a slapstick pratfall on his back, like a really slow, controlled bump, and then the death lock. I wouldn't want to take a scorpion death drop. So Sting a splash. He can go, oh, I'm going to carefully go on the floor. But it's going to make it look like I'm doing the whole very slow stumble backwards, and then he can get put in the death lock. And I'd love it. It's weird.
It is. It's insane to be suggesting. And it's just such a shame to see AEW having to use stars from other companies, if I'm perfectly honest.
Oh, you're such an arsehole. Almost made it through an entire podcast and you dropped that bollocks on me. I know what you're doing. It's absolutely fine. Interestingly, I don't know what goes next for MGF. Pillman Jr., constant teasers with Wardlow. That's bound to explode and it's going to be awesome when it does. But there's Pinnacle stuff happening with Darby Allin. Mm-hmm. MGF is still in the Pinnacle. They really need to cut a promo with the five of them. I'm not one of these guys who goes, oh, they should recap every single thing they do on this show minutes after we come back to the show from the commercial. Like, people aren't morons. Some people are. Too many people are. But this audience isn't. It is reaching a point where there are people in my mentions saying, oh, is Pinnacle still together? Yes, but I can honestly understand for once why you feel like there might not be. So maybe MGF versus Darby Allin is the direction. Or is MGF Wardlow the direction? Who the hell knows? But MGF versus Darby Allin would be such great drama.
Yeah.
It would be such great drama because they are the two biggest, I don't want to say homegrown, they grew themselves. That's what independent contractors, goddammit, do. They are independent contractors. That's where the independent part comes into it. But in terms of acts that weren't familiar to mainstream audiences, that in collaboration with the performers, AEW was hoisted to the main event level. Babyface and heel, it's Allin and MJF. It would be such a great showcase of what this promotion can do to have them in a featured match at Full Gear, but these are conversations for a different day, perhaps.
Indeed. Let us know your thoughts ahead of AEW Rampage tonight. They're on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M. Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. As I said, follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Lots of good stuff coming your way today. The SmackDown preview, WrestleCulture with a hashtag, bloody good quiz. And then over the weekend, myself and the Dudley Boys chatting all about Adam Cole in AEW. Should he be a manager instead? We'll maybe discuss that. Who knows? But this has been the AEW Rampage preview. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.